Thanks very much. I am Kathy Wisser, and I work at the School of Information and Library Science at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm the Director of Instructional Services there, which is, I'm not sure what they do, but I do teach archival description. And previous to that, I actually was the metadata coordinator for our statewide consortium, North Carolina Exploring Cultural Heritage Online. I did that for 4.5 years and spent a lot of time trying to convince people in North Carolina to do EAD and teach them how to do that. I'm really pleased, and I am the chair of the EAC working group, which will be really apparent when I go through my presentation. I was really pleased to be asked to be part of this because I do see EACCPF as just one example of ways in which we potentially are moving forward in archival description. So today I'm going to talk about integration and formalizing integration and integrating access, extending some boundaries. I was asked to be pie in the sky, and so I am being very pie in the sky. Obviously, I don't think that any of the results I talk about this afternoon will actually be done next week, but maybe in a couple of years. So what do I mean by integrated access? We're really interested in networking, names, places, networking everything, actually. That would be the et cetera part. And crossing institutional boundaries. And by integration, I actually don't just mean description. I do mean international integration, institutional boundaries, libraries, archives, and museums. They all hold cultural heritage materials, and we need to stop being isolated in our applications. Multiple viewpoints to resources. Stop thinking about only one gateway in. Finding aids are a great way to get into resources, but there are certainly other ways that we can start drawing our users in, and that speaks to multiple entryways. I'm going to use EAC-CPF kind of as an example of what my vision is evolving to be. And it's not just my vision, I should say. It's the EAC-CPF, or the EAC Working Group. We developed this together at our meeting in Bologna earlier this year. But it's definitely a vision, and it's definitely up for editing. As most things, it's a work in progress. So I'm going to use that as an example, but hopefully we can draw it out to a larger kind of context at the end. So the Encoded Archival Context Working Group got together in Bologna, Italy, and we began the draft of EAC-CPF, which is dedicated to corporate bodies, persons, and families. One of the first things that we decided was that EAC was too broad of a concept, that contextual information is a lot more than just record creators. In particular, Victoria Peters from Scotland, who is a part of the working group, and is actually the project manager for the project that Bill mentioned this morning at the University of Glasgow, was on the ISDF working group and was very quick in reminding us that functions and activities are also contextual information. In deciding what we were going to accomplish in Bologna, we tried to be really realistic because we only had 3 days to meet and narrow it down to what the charge was that the technical subcommittee of the Descriptive Standards group gave us in 2006. So a little bit about integration and a little bit about what EAC-CPF, or the EAC Working Group, was able to take away from EAD, because we had 10 years of the experience of EAD to learn from in how we were actually going to go about this. It is an international working group. There are seven of the 12 members are not from the United States. And actually, there's 25% of the working group in this room. There used to be 33%, but Dennis Meisner had to go and catch a plane. And I am hopefully, my working group compatriots will speak up if there are questions about EAC during the discussion group. So it has been international from its outset. EAC Beta was actually created primarily by Daniel Pitti and Per-Gunnar Arvidsson of Sweden. In 2004, that's when EAC Beta was released. And so EAC, even at its very beginnings, was an international effort. Let's say Per-Gunnar was part of our working group. He passed away last month, and we're very sorry and we miss him terribly, and we'll be working forward in his honor, and hopefully we'll be making him proud in ways that we can. It's a great loss to the working group. It's also a great loss to the Archibald community as a whole. This is our working group. We're standing outside the Archivio di Stato in Bologna. We had wonderful support from them in the 3 days that we met there, and then a conference of Italian archivists and our working group at the end. And it really brought to fore the questions that they were thinking about and also some of the ideas that we came up with. Just a quick bit on our principles of design. We didn't come in knowing this, but this is what was a result of our discussions over the 3 days. And I actually think it's a great example of metadata formation going forward and creating new schemas and thinking about how metadata works. We're going to keep it simple. We need to be parsimonious, focus on interoperability, avoid doing things just for presentation, because we do presentation fine. That doesn't really have as much to do with metadata as content and structure. And smart structured data is what we're going for. And if you can't explain it, don't do it. So that kind of simple, straightforward ability to design a metadata schema, and hopefully the product that we'll come out with by the end of this year, hopefully, this annual year, will reflect these principles of design. I had a little fun with clip art. So these are the five main sections of EAC CPF. Just to give you a quick, early snapshot of what it's going to look like. We have the control section, which is very similar, actually identical to headers in other metadata standards. The identity section, which has to do with name formation, and there's a lot of flexibility in that identity section to reflect different authority structures internationally. We made a point of making it non-Library of Congress name authority file favored, but to be very flexible in that context. A description section, and the description section directly mirrors the description in ISAR CPF, which is the content standard that stands alongside EAC CPF. So the elements in description directly are parallel to the elements in ISAR CPF. The relationship section, and that's got a capital R on it because there are actually a bunch of different elements that reflect relationship. And I'm actually going to talk about resource relationships as an example of kind of what our design was. That's supposed to be a little Hollinger box, but I don't know if you can see that quite well. And then the source section, where the information in the record actually has been derived from. Where did we get that information? So this is the basic structure, and obviously there are elements within each of these kind of element groupings that get into the details of the different sections. One of the things that was very important to the EAC working group was this idea about content standards and international content standards and an XML standard that reflects this. And I think this is important kind of in my big dream in terms of archival description or just description in general. I actually dropped the word archival. We'll see how well that goes over. But this idea of connecting or pairing up, paralleling a content standard and an XML standard that will express that content standard. So for archival materials, of course, we have ISAG and we have EAD, which is a structure standard, an XML standard for, kind of explicitly stating ISAG for archival materials. For corporate bodies, people and families, we have ISAR CPF. So its companion standard is EAC CPF. And of course, there's ISDF and EACF. ISDF has been finalized, but EACF is yet to exist. But we're hopeful. That's just an example. So some of the impacts on structured standards, of course, are that there are a lot of shared kind of conceptual elements. I hate to use the word element because we associate that with these things, but shared conceptual concepts. In terms of across these different standards, so this Venn diagram, which I've been trotting out at every opportunity, really demonstrates the ways in which things can overlap. And what I think that the EAC working group would like to do is to decrease duplication in terms of having places where you express certain bits of data, and then being able to integrate those different descriptions together. Obviously, that's going to take us a long time. And one of the things that I think is crucial in terms of creating something like EACCPF is consistency with the definitions of overlap in EAD. So that in EAD, if we're using a particular element name that is the same in EACCPF, that the definition is actually the same as well. So conceptually, they're representing the same information. Down the road, it'd be great if they could be integrated so it's expressed in one standard rather than in both. But that's down the road. And Michael Fox was telling me this morning that the technology isn't as simple as I seem to make it sound. And I was like, oh, darn. I was thinking, great. Thanks for telling me before I got up and said, this will be easy as pie and no problems whatsoever. But I have a lot of faith in the technology community. I think they'll figure that out. So we can be pie in the sky about that sort of thing. Another thing, of course, is that there are a great number of shared elements around all of these EA standards. And eventually, it'd be really nice to have a space where all of those shared elements that are not specific to a particular kind of description, something that you're describing, is in a place that can be accessed by all. Again, decreasing duplication. Something like paragraph or list, or you know, things that aren't about the content, but actually facilitate the way that we communicate that content. So that I see as representing that tiny little thing in the middle. And I did different colors so that it could be a little bit more explicit. But that's, of course, very pie in the sky. We're certainly not there today. We won't be there tomorrow. But keeping an eye on those sort of things, I think, is going to be important as we develop more of these kind of EA standards. For EAD and EACCPF, of course, these are the kind of existing standards right now. We do want to focus on shared spaces, make sure that our definitions are identical, not contradictory, or not somehow difficult to distinguish between. That's the, you know, if you can't explain it, don't do it that way. You want to be able to explain and name things exactly the same way if they represent exactly the same concept. We want to include different elements from these companion standards, and that's a way down the road thing, as Michael pointed out, in terms of technology. Maybe not way down, middle of the road way. And have compatibility so that we can decrease the repetition of information if we are going to, and it sounded to me this morning, I know the European community has really embraced EAC in a way that the American community has not. They've actually implemented it. They've created systems. If we are going to embrace EACCPF in the way that I certainly hope that we will, it'd be nice to not have to make people feel like they're re-describing something that they've already described in their EAD records. So the end result, of course, is that I think that we should have standards that are focused and focused on what it is that they're really describing. Contextual information is as essential, and that's why it has a whole chapter in DAX and all that sort of thing. It is essential to understanding archival materials. And EACCPF says, okay, so let's really describe contextually corporate bodies, record creators. So the focus there is on describing record creators. EAD, of course, describes archival materials, and EACCPF didn't exist when EAD was designed, so of course it reflected that contextual information. So we want to focus and efficiency for effective description. It's kind of what I'm my soapbox right now. It's efficiency and effectiveness in terms of multiple standards. Now I'm going to use the example of resource relationship to kind of demonstrate our ideas or design around how we think this might work. This is actually a lot, I'm sorry if it's really hard to read, logical diagram of the schema of resource relation from the schema as it is right now. It's in a draft form. Chris mentioned Daniel taking months of tweaking. I suspect that Daniel Pitti will be tweaking for a couple months for us too. As we go through, test it, write our tag library, test it again, get other people to test it, and we anticipate tweaking for a while, hopefully just in 2008 though. So our logical diagram here has the resource relationship, an element for the nature of the relation, so we can describe what the nature is, and then three optional elements, one relation link, one relation XML wrap, one relation bin wrap, and these are three different ways to connect information about the resource in the EAC record. And then there's date information and description note information to give some flexibility. So about those three ways. First of all, you can link to a record, link to a description, you know, move out of your EACCPF element using a relation link. So being able to go out to the other space and that be the description. In relation XML wrap, you ideally should be able to bring in description from other schemas created to describe specific resource types. And as I said in the beginning, we are integrating across multiple institution types, so it's not just EAD in terms of archival materials, CDWA for museum objects, MARC XML for bibliographic materials. We're trying to be pretty wide open about the kinds of things that you could bring in, hopefully if the technology works that way. And finally, relation binwrap allows you to bring in just a data stream. So you could actually bring in just the data stream of, for instance, a MARC record and insert that into your record in this element. I'm not a techie, although I'm friends with techies, and so I'm not 100% sure how that one works, but I can't wait to find out. So things that aren't in XML. And these are kind of the three different ways. EACCPF has not defined in any way how to describe archival materials. We have only focused on corporate bodies, persons, and families. And so in that way, we're focused on what we're focused on, but we acknowledge that you have to be able to incorporate these other bits of information. EAD does a fabulous job. I'm a big fan of EAD, majorly big fan, of describing archival materials. And so why would we reinvent that? Why would we redefine that in any way? And actually, the beta version of EAC did do that. We borrowed a great deal from EAD, incorporated EAD elements, called them EAC elements, and it seemed to be repetitious and it seemed to be kind of confusing and people didn't really understand the connections because it was an EAD element. What's an EAD element doing in EAC? Now it's not in there. Now we're saying go out to EAD and get that stuff. So what is my big, huge vision? This is my pie in the sky. What I would really like to see is multiple XML standards focused on different parts of description that are necessary or useful for our users. Each schema would be represented and focused on what it is that it is describing, and they would work together and actually to combine to become description. And I think that Dr. Menehart's framework design actually kind of is that in action. It's this in action, which is really exciting to see that, where you have EAD for archival materials, and you could actually include other things like CDWA Lite or other schema things that describe resources. EACCPF for the creators of archival, little a archival I'm using there, cultural heritage material, resources. EACF for functions and activities that result in cultural heritage materials. EAG for repository information. I actually don't know the person who created EAG, so I put a little question mark there because I'm kind of like, yeah, why not? And have this repository information. Institutions with archival holdings, there is an ICA standard now for that, which is ISDIAH. I'm not quite sure how to make that a word. I've said it a couple different ways, but that's a really exciting move forward. So we have a standard, a content standard that actually tells us the information that is necessary to describe institutions of archival holdings. Other contextual information, I mean, there's lots of possibilities out there. We, of course, don't want to duplicate the work of other organizations like geographic names. There has been a lot of very targeted communities that have already created information about geographic places and that sort of thing. So rather than just inventing our own, we need to investigate, see what's out there, see how we can incorporate existing standards to fit our needs. So that's my kind of pie in the sky vision of description, all of these things working together to create description and to create it for our users. Now, whether or not they all exist in the same actual web browser at the same time is one thing. That's possible. Or they could be linked in a variety of different ways. It seems to me like, the sky's the limit for us in the context of focusing not repeating information in multiple places, not sending our users to different portals for different kinds of information, but getting them any way we can through any of these kinds of structures into archival description or description just in general. Thank you.